All right, good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. Raise that up a little bit. Hope everybody's having a good week so far. We've got a few more coming in, so we'll just kind of keep it rolling here while they come in. But it's good to see you all here this morning. Definitely good to see somebody I haven't seen in a long time in person. So I look forward to the time where more people can get out and you know, I get to see people online in one way or another, and that's great. I'm glad we have that ability to be able to do that and keep in touch that way. But just seeing people in person is just pretty cool. So I look forward to seeing more people in person that we haven't got to see in a long time. So glad things are hopefully kind of getting back to some kind of normal, whatever we're going to call that. But glad the health of a lot of people are as such that they can get out. And again, I look forward to seeing more people here in person as time goes on. But, you know, it's March. I changed the color to green. So here we go. We're getting there. The weather's been gorgeous here the last couple of days. So it's just nice to get out and see everybody. I just have one announcement. The Hensons are all at home today. Just got varying degrees of stuffy, you know, sickness kind of things going on. So just kind of staying safe and keeping everybody else safe. So they all decided to stay home here today. So you're going to get a lot of me today. So watch out. Here we go. But I'm going to be up here. I'll be presenting the lesson today in Brother Bobby's absence. But just be mindful of all of our loved ones that aren't able to be out. For varying reasons, a lot of sickness might be having to deal with, or the concern of family members or loved ones as well. So I know also 'tis the season for allergies coming up too. I've already heard a few people mention that. I know it's going to be hitting me here soon. So I'm telling you, it's just allergies. I'm serious. but I am thankful for you all to be here today. Before we get started on our worship service, if you would bow with me for a prayer, please. And dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for everyone that can be here today in person, or those that are able to join us in other means as well, dear Lord. We're thankful for the time that we can be here on the first day of the week and worship you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. We're thankful for all that you do for us. Thank you for caring for us and guiding us each and every day of our life. Please always help us to follow you, keep you first in our life, dear Lord. And know that you are our Father and that you care for us. We're mindful of the Hensons that aren't able to be with us here today because of illness. Please be with them and give them their good health back here very soon, dear Lord. And we know we have a lot of other loved ones, friends, and family that are dealing with a lot of things at this time, dear Lord, whether it be their health or their loved one's health and the stress and the anxiety that comes from that, dear Lord. Please be with all of us and give us all strength and encouragement to get through these times. Things are getting better, dear Lord, and we're so thankful for that. Please continue to help everybody continue to get better, and we can have more people just get out and not have the fear and the worry that is still out there, dear Lord. But we are thankful for all that you do for us, and please continue to bless us and guide us. As we go to you today here in worship, help us to focus our thoughts and our minds on what we're doing, dear Lord. Help us to lift our voice in praise to you. Help us to focus on the words and the thoughts that will be presented here today. And always help us to do all things in your name, dear Lord. And help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And good morning, everyone.
As Tim said, I guess I didn't get the memo, but I wore green myself, so I guess subconsciously I'm channeling for it to be spring. You couldn't get here soon enough. It's a beautiful day. It's obviously it's great to be here with everyone here. To begin our singing portion of this morning's lesson, or this morning's service, we're going to sing Beyond This Land of Parting. We're going to sing all three verses.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses darkening this end, far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the sun. beyond, where is no nigh. Summer land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss, beyond this land of toiling, sowing and reaping, far beyond the shadows darkening this, far beyond the sighing, moaning and weeping, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright. Land beyond, beyond the sorrows darkening this land, far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright. Land beyond, where is no night.
Before Brother Tim stands before us to impart some of the wonderful words of life, we're going to sing Wonderful Words of Life. Once again, we're going to sing all three verses, and if it's a convenience, I please ask that you could stand as we sing this song.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner lifts to the loving, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, who wonderful words of life.
From 10.
All right, so again, good morning to everybody. It is good to see you all here again this morning. Again, Brother Bobby, a little under the weather, so he stayed home today, so you get me today. So that's it's been a little bit since I've presented a lesson, but always look forward to that, and hope the words that I have for you and the thoughts will be an encouragement to you, and we could take some lessons from the things that I'm going to present today. So I like a lot of TV shows, and there was definitely some favorites that I had when I was younger, and of course those still, you know, hold a place in my heart, and I like going back and watching those, and you probably have some of those as well, but I definitely do. My mom and dad can probably attest to that. There were some shows that I just had to be home for to watch. I couldn't miss those things because, you know, that was really, I'm old enough, that was before really VCRs were a thing that you could record, definitely before DVR and all that kind of stuff. So if you missed it, you just missed it. You weren't going to be able to see it unless you caught it on a rerun or something. So I had to get home, watch these shows. Well, one of the shows that I really liked to watch was The A-Team. And Jennifer really did a good job here this past Christmas. I got the complete A-Team DVD set, right? Yeah. And eventually we're going to be like, what's a DVD? But right now, that's really cool, you know. I like having those DVDs. So we've been kind of watching, going through the first season of that, and that's been pretty cool because it's been a long time, so I don't remember all those quite so well. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. And I don't know if I've seen more head nods than I thought when I said A-Team, so that's cool. I wasn't really sure. We were talking about it. Well, I don't know how many people know who the A-Team is, but I'm glad there's a lot of that. So I don't know if you had your favorite character from the A-Team, but I definitely did. And my favorite character was, you know, B.A. Baracus. You know, he's just you know, that guy who's tough. And just that look told you all you needed to know, you know. And what was his line? Do you remember what his line was in that movie a lot of time? Right, I love it. Right, so there you go. I pity the fool. So I was telling AC before services started, you know, whether I'm a good example or not about lessons, my idea from lessons come from some strange places sometimes. So it's going through watching the A-Team and remembering how Mr. T, you know, B.A. Baracus was always saying, I pity the fool. Well, you know, what's Bobby say? I say all the time, well, where am I going with this one? But you think about it, you know, how he says, I pity the fool in that look. Well, we have a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about how you shouldn't be a fool. And to the point where you almost can hear God say, I pity the fool. You know, don't be this way. We have a lot of wisdom in the scriptures that talk about don't be a fool. And when we think about, you know, don't be a fool, we think about a fool, someone who is unwise or lacking in good sense or judgment. And that's, you know, a lot of times that's what happens when you do foolish things or make, you know, foolish decisions or maybe say something that's a little bit foolish. You know, sometimes you're not using good sense or you're not using good judgment, you know, whenever you do or say those things. And I think we've all, you know, kind of had those moments, haven't we? I definitely know I have. But a lot of us, you know, fall into that sometimes when, you know, thoughts, words, actions might be unwise or you're not using good judgment when you think or do these things. And there's a couple of examples, a little bit longer readings we have in the scriptures that talk about, you know, doing something that is wise or doing something that is foolish. And it's been a while since we've had PowerPoint, so here we go. We have something to read on the PowerPoint. Again, you can hear Mr. T saying, you know, I pity the fool, but we have a lot of examples that talk about wise and foolish things. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. You know, we remember this story, I'm sure, quite well. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Good sense and good judgment built that one. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So here you see somebody that made good decisions, good judgment, wise, built the house on a good foundation, and somebody that was foolish, not making good decisions, not making good judgments, built the house on a bad foundation. What happens when some storms came up and it blew that house down, and great was the fall. We have one other example I want to bring up to us, Luke 12:16-21. Again, I'm sure you remember this one. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" There's the end of the story, right? Nope. God said to him, what do you call him? Fool. Pity the fool. "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who has laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Again, somebody that's using poor judgment, making bad decisions, wanting to gather all that he can in this life. You know what? I'm good. I'm just going to sit back and relax now, and not realizing that there's something a lot greater than the things of this world. You need to be looking towards spiritual things and building up for yourself those things instead of all the things of this world. So God tells this person, "You fool, you don't get it. You've made bad decisions and bad judgment calls here." So that's just a couple of examples that I wanted to bring up. And again, there are so many more that we can read about, especially in parables and the lessons we learn from the New Testament about what God would call somebody a fool or making foolish decisions. But what also I want to bring out here today, and this is going to be the bulk of the rest of the lesson, is going to be things that we can learn from the book of Proverbs. How can we not go to Proverbs? You know, when you think about the book of Proverbs, what do you think about? You think about words of wisdom. At least that's what I think about, you know, coming from the wise man Solomon. So I think there's a lot of good thoughts. I was going through Proverbs, and I ran across a whole lot of Proverbs about a fool and what that means and the bad choices and decisions those can make. So I could have made this a really long lesson, but I tried to pare it down a little bit so I could pick and choose some that kind of revolve around three different areas that I want to talk about. So we think about the decisions and how we can be foolish or not foolish about our thoughts, so our mind and our thoughts. Also, how we can be foolish or not about our speech or our words. And then thirdly, we're going to be talking about how we can be foolish or wise about our actions or our choices. So our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. So that's where we're going to go here today, those three topics. But first of all, each one of these, I'm going to have a proverb, and I'm going to have another verse to go with it. So our first one, we're going to start with our thoughts. So we're reading Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Yes, that's great. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we think about somebody that's a fool. You can hear God saying, "You fool." You know, this is somebody we read about here despising wisdom and instruction. There's no appreciation or no respect for studying or learning. Do you know anybody like that? Do you have people that you know of? Not just with Bible things or spiritual things, but also just in your daily walk of life. You know, there's just people that have no appreciation or respect for wisdom or the wisdom of others even. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But the fool, he despises wisdom and instruction. Has no appreciation or respect for studying or from learning. When we think about somebody that is not a fool, that would be wise. We can read in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we think about somebody that should be wise with our thoughts and with our mind. You know, we need to study God's word, right? We see it right here. Why do we need to do this? This scripture that is breathed out by God. What's it say? It's profitable for what? For teaching, for correction, for training. Why do we need all these things? Well, what's it say there at the end? So that we can be complete and that we can be thoroughly equipped. So we have this wisdom and instruction that we're filling our minds with, then we can be wise in our thoughts and in our mind. So you see how that works. We put these good words and good thoughts into our mind. You know, there's a lot of bad things that we can put and unwise things we can put in our mind and in our thoughts, right? And then how's that churn? How does that then manifest itself into how we think? And then later on in how we talk and how we walk our course of life. So we need to be soaking up as much as God's word as we can so that we are not that fool that despises wisdom and instruction. We can be not be a fool, we can be wise because we're studying God's word each and every day, every chance that we get, because it is profitable for so many things. But definitely it keeps our mind and our thoughts engaged on God and godly things. The second and last one I have for our mind and our thoughts comes from Proverbs 28:26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Whoever trusts in his own mind. Ah, know some people like that. I do too, and sometimes we do that for ourselves. You know, you ever heard the thing, we know what's best. I know what's best. I am very self-sufficient. I know all I need to know. So it goes back to that point about, you know, despising wisdom and instruction. This kind of ties right into that. You trust in your own mind. I know what I need to know. I don't need to learn anything else. I don't need to read anything else. I've got it. I've got it down. I've got what I need up here to make all the decisions I need to make and be wise in those. Be careful with that, because we read right here, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. And we don't want to be that kind of fool that thinks, you know what, I've got it all down. I've got it. I'm self-sufficient. I know all I need to know. We need to not be a fool. I'm going to stick with Proverbs on this one. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on what? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. We need to absorb all what we can and learn and grow. But how we use that, you know, don't just think you've got it down and I understand everything that there is to know. You can read that Bible each and every day, and you're going to learn something new every time. I've heard Bobby say that. And how long has Bobby been preaching and teaching and studying? And each and every day, he says he goes through those scriptures and he learns something else. So you can't just stop learning and gaining that wisdom. Keep on keeping on with that. Don't just trust that you've got it all down. I know I sure don't, and I need to continue to study. But I need to not lean on my own understanding, but I need to trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him and know that the understanding that I have is a blessing from God, that I can read and understand His Word, and then I can apply that to my thoughts and then later on my speech and my actions as well. Because it's God's Word and how we learn what we need to learn to be able to walk the path that we need to be walking. So, don't be the fool that trusts in his own mind, but be the wise person that looks to God, lean on Him, and acknowledge Him, because He's the one that's going to make our thoughts and our mind in such a way that we can understand what we need to do to make sure that we have that straight path in our life. Next up, I want to talk a little bit about our words or our speech. And I'm going to start here in Proverbs 10 and 18. It says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. And I meant to say this earlier on, but all these scriptures I'm getting is from the ESV, so might be a little bit worded differently depending on what version you're using, but the ESV kind of just made this a little bit more hit home on a lot of these. So whoever utters slander is a fool. You don't want to be that kind of person that has the speech that tears down. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this world that do that. And I hope that we can all be of such character that we're not one of those people, because it is so easy to get caught up in that. I'm around that a lot where I work. I'm almost saturated by it, and it feels rough to always be around people that just utter slander, whether it's in a playful mood, you know, oh, I'm just kidding, but are they really kidding? You know, it doesn't really feel like that. Don't be like that. And it says right here, you know, somebody else, that's a fool's doing here. That's somebody that's foolish, that's always uttering slander. And that's a dangerous thing. You don't want to go down that road because it tears down. And I often say that, and I try to say that to my boys as well. You know, a lot of times there are two different kind of people, especially with their speech, ones that build up and ones that tear down. And unfortunately, that scale seems to be tipped a lot of times with a lot of people that tear down. So we don't want to be that kind of person that's described as a fool, that has this kind of speech and the words that come out of your mouth that are always trying to tear down. Instead, we need to be somebody that's wise and be respectful in our speech. Speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people, we read in Titus 3:2. You know, these are all things that sound good, and yes, I want to be like that, but sometimes it's tough. And I know that we're around a lot of people sometimes that's tough to do, you know. It's tough to not speak evil or avoid quarreling, you know, but to be gentle and show courtesy to others. A lot of people, that's hard to do. And it can be even people in your own family, and that can be tough as well. But definitely people that you're around each and every day at your work or whatever it may be. And that's tough. But you know what? We don't want to be described as the fool that's going to utter slander. And again, it's not just our speech, which is what we're talking about here, but we can tie this one back. I could have easily put this one in our thoughts and in our mind as well, because, you know, a lot of times those thoughts are coming from here, and then it comes out of our mouth with this slander. So we shouldn't even be thinking about this kind of slander, definitely not talking about it, because, again, those words can tear down. We need to avoid these things and be gentle and show courtesy toward other people. This kind of sounds, you know, really optimistic, but it's accurate. If more people would be this way, how better a world we would be in, right? Because unfortunately, in this time that we have a lot of ways that we can communicate and get words out there to a lot of people, it'd be a lot better if we had words like what we read in Titus 3:2 than the ones we read about the fool in Proverbs 10:18, right? So I hope we can gain something from this for sure. Before you start typing or saying or whatever you're doing, just think about it. Don't be one that has the foolish talk and the foolish speech and the foolish words that go out. Well, you might think it's only going here, but it's going to a lot of places. And don't be that. Don't be a fool on your speech, and don't be uttering the kind of slander, but show that courtesy toward all people that I would hope that you want that, right? You want that kind of response back to you. You want people to show you courtesy and not quarreling all the time, so show that to others as well. Next one I want to go to is from Proverbs 18, verse 2. When we think about our words or our speech. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Oh, I get that a lot at work too. You know, where a lot of people, I'm head over quality, so I should have some pull there, right? And I'm the authority there. But guess what? There's a lot of other people who think they know a lot more than I do, and try to go across and above my authority when it comes to that. But they definitely want to express their own opinion. How many times have you heard this? Well, I think. ..." Here you go. Which, hey, nothing necessarily wrong with that. But remember the first part here. It takes no pleasure in understanding. So if you don't understand what's going on or see the big picture here, you know, a lot of times in a work environment, that's what some people don't see. They just see a little bit of the piece of the whole, and they're drawing a conclusion because of that little piece. But as a manager or something else, you see a bigger picture. So, and wait a minute, you don't understand the whole situation here, so be careful. You know, well, I think we should do this or that. Well, you're not taking into account the whole picture. You need to understand. You know, so again, a lot of people, a fool may base their opinion on just a little piece and not understanding what everything is going, what everything that's going on, or the consequences to what you may be saying or the decisions that are being made. So again, you need to understand, because the fool doesn't care to understand. They're just going to form their own opinion, and you're going to hear about it. And you're going to tell everybody about your opinion, because your opinion's right. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because, again, we're going back to, you know, despising wisdom and instruction again. You know, what your words are coming from, your thoughts and your mind. And you got to be careful, because we're seeing here that a fool is described as not wanting to understand, and you're just going to express your opinion, and you're forming that kind of opinion by not understanding the whole picture. So we not need to not be that kind of fool, but be the one that is wise. We read about in James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I want to hone in on the quick to hear, because take pleasure in understanding. Quick to hear. Listen. Know. Gather facts. Understand what's going on. Whether it's a situation that you might be having in your work or in your family or your home or whatever it is, but you need to understand what's going on. See the big picture before you go expressing opinion and saying, I think you should do this, or I think it should be this way. But you might not know the whole story about what's going on in that person's life or what's going on in that kind of situation that you're trying to form your opinion about. So a wise person is going to listen, gather facts, understand. Then you can start to express your opinion and let that opinion be of a helpful nature, you know, not trying to browbeat somebody. You know, take a hammer to them, you know, I think you should do this, you know. No, you know, again, let's go back in speech and in love and respecting other people when you talk to them and you bring these kind of things to them. So, quick to hear, quick to understand, and then slow to speak. You know, you got to digest these things, chew on these things. You know, I do that a lot. I'll get an idea, especially for a talk, and then I'll jot some things down, and then I push it aside because I kind of have to chew on it for a while. And then I think about it more. Maybe the direction I was going to go with that kind of talk or those thoughts, I might change my direction because, you know, I thought about it more. I'm taking my time to understand maybe a little bit more fully on how I want to present that. Well, the actions and the words that we have in our life, we need to do that too. Because sometimes, you know, quick words coming out of our mouth aren't the best thing, are they? Right? So sometimes you just kind of have to, you know what? Hold on, let me take a step back. Let me be slow to speak here. And then gather my thoughts, gather my understanding, and then be able to bring that out. So, again, I know a lot of times it's hard. I know, because there's a lot of people it can be difficult not to just, you know, snap back at them because they're probably snapping at you. And that can be tough, right? But you know what? The fool is described as not taking pleasure in understanding, but expressing your opinion. But we need to be that person that's quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger too. Because a lot of times, again, the opinions of others can be hurtful. And you want to snap back and defend yourself or defend what you're doing or defend other people. But be careful. So don't be one that's treading in that foolish area. But be wise. Watch your words. Watch your actions. Watch your choices. which is going to lead into our next one here, where we start talking about our actions and our choices. I want to go to Proverbs 1:32, which reads, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." You know, we think about complacency, a big fancy word. What's complacency means? Well, it's kind of like self-satisfaction. You know, you're kind of at ease. You know what? It's kind of like that rich guy that we read about earlier on, that, you know what, he thought he had it all. "I've got all this stuff. I had to build more barns. I got to keep all this. You know what? I'm going to sit back and relax. I've got it made. Eat, drink, and be merry." And what did the Lord tell him? "You fool." That's complacency. You're just self-satisfied. "I've got it. I've got it all. I've got it made." That kind of person is unaware of the potential dangers that are lurking. You know, the potential situations that might be coming up. That fellow that we read about, what did the Lord say to him? "Your soul is required of you right now." He was unaware of the potential danger that was there, that his time was right there. So the fool is described as this kind of person. Got your arms back, leaning back. "I've got it all. I've got it made." So whatever it is you've got going on, don't be that way. Don't be the fool that's just going to sit back and just rest on what you've got and what you're doing. We don't want to be the fool. We want to be the person that's described as wise. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." I know a lot of times we all think that, you know, with that kind of complacency, you know, "I'm in a good place. I know what I need to know." And again, I can tie this back to our learning and growing from reading the Word of God and our study. And you think you got it all and you understand it all, think again. You probably need to study more, because the Scriptures pretty much tell you you need to keep studying, because there's a lot that you need to know to be able to grow. But anyone that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. You know, that's the fool being described here. Don't just think you've got it made. When we think about our actions and choices, we need to continually choose to act in a way that we're going to continue to grow each and every day. Not only in knowledge, but in what we do. And again, what we were talking about earlier, and what we say. But it's everything that we do each and every day. We think about what we're trying to do to be a Christian, you know, and how, what that means, and how we act, and how we talk, and how we think. You know what? You think you're doing great? That's great. You can do even more. You can be better. Because none of us are perfect, right? I'm not. None of us are. There's only one that was perfect. And he's the one that's trying to teach us to be like him. But we need to do that each and every day, continue to grow and grow. Proverbs 13:20. Another one, we talk about our actions or our choices. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." This one's a little different. We think about, you know, what we're trying to do ourselves with our actions and our choices. But who do you surround yourself with? You know, a lot of times we don't have a choice, especially, you know, with our work or whatever. You know, I have to work with who I have to work with. I don't have a lot of choice with that. It is what it is. I don't own the company. If I would, maybe I'd surround myself with different people. But sometimes you just don't have a choice. It is what it is. But with your friends and outside of, you know, where you have more control. So with the friends or who you choose to spend your time with, you know, what kind of choices are you making there? Who are you surrounding yourself with? And again, I'll use myself and my family as an example. I've always told my boys, surround yourself with good people, especially in a school environment. You know, when you surround yourself with not the best people, what can happen there? You know, they're an influence on you, whether you realize it or not. And you can try to be a good influence on them, but if you continue to surround yourself with negativity and bad influences, it's just going to keep weighing you down. And it's going to be tough to be that kind of light. and make good choices and make good choices in your actions. So you got to be careful. If your companions are fools and make a lot of foolish choices, watch out. You want to be around somebody that is wise. Walk with the wise so that you can become wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. And I think we've all seen a lot of examples of that. Maybe we've been ourselves. We've had to suffer from that. But I'm sure we've seen that a lot. So don't be that fool that surrounds yourself with other fools. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And again, obviously we need to be a light in this world. And there's a lot of people that need a good example in their life. Absolutely. But don't just always surround yourself with foolishness and with people that want to do a lot of bad, evil, just sinful things. You need some kind of balance there. So don't be the fool that is always going to be the companion of other fools. But be the wise person that also surrounds yourself with positivity, with good people. And I'm glad we have this congregation here, that we can do that, you know, with each other. But there are good people in your life and that you need to seek out. And, you know, be the companion of those people as well. Proverbs 14:16 will be our last one here this morning. We think about our actions and choices. Proverbs 14:16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Know anybody that's reckless and careless? Ah, I sure do. I know a lot of that, and you know, a lot of times people think that it just comes with youth. You know, young people are reckless and careless. Well, not just young people. No, that can be a lot of older people as well. Every walk of life, there's a lot of times where people have no consideration for the consequences or choices of their actions, right? And when I think of reckless and careless, that's what I think of. You're not even thinking. You're just rushing headlong into something, to do something, to say something, whatever it is, you're just rushing headlong and not really thinking about the consequences of your choices or actions or your words or whatever it might be. So don't be that fool that's reckless and careless. But you need to be wise. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, as we read in Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully. Take everything into consideration. Examine your choices. Examine the paths that you choose carefully. And when you do those kind of things, I think you can avoid being the foolish person that's reckless and careless. I mean, we do that a lot in our life. When we take, most people do, when you consider, like, if you're going to make a big purchase on something, you know, there's some considerations. AC, looking for a new house, right? You just don't go, all right, that one. Sign me up. What do you do if you're going looking for a house? There's a lot of considerations with that. You're going to go look at it. You want to see what kind of neighborhood it's in, what kind of school district it's in. Is it big enough? Is it too big, too small? You know, is it falling apart? You know, whatever it is that going to meet the needs for your family? So there's a lot of consideration there. You just don't go rushing headlong into buying those things, even though some people do. And what are those people? Probably a little foolish rushing in like that. But a lot of things in our life that we do, you know, we look carefully at. We need to do that with all of our actions and not just rush headlong into things, but really think about it. Now, wait a minute. Is the consequence of this action or this course that I'm taking in my life, is this going to be a detriment to me, detriment to others that are around me, to where this is going to be a foolish choice that I'm making here? Or you've examined this carefully and say, yes, this is what I need to do. This is the direction I need to go. Again, we understand that with things that we do each and every day, but we need to understand that spiritually as well. You know, not letting, you know, our actions spiritually be reckless and careless, just like we talked about with our thoughts or our words, but it's our actions as well. Look carefully then how you walk, not as wise, as unwise, but as wise. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I'm going to wrap it up here. So I want you to remember the next time we're thinking about this, you see Mr. T's picture, you say, "Don't, I pity the fool." Don't be the fool, right? You know, because again, we have a lot of wisdom in the scriptures that describe what it means to be foolish in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. But we have then all the instructions that we need to make sure that we are not fools, but we are wise. We are making wise choices with our words and our thoughts and our actions. I want to leave you with one more scripture here. This is kind of a carryover from that last point where we read from Ephesians 5:15. A couple more verses to go along with that. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Where do we learn what the will of the Lord is? Through His Word, through study, so that we can learn to not be foolish. What's the best use of our time? To study, to learn, to grow, so that we can be even better Christians each and every day. So that we're not the fool that we've read about so much. And go back into Proverbs. There's a whole lot of more scriptures there about fools and making foolish choices, coming from Solomon, who made a lot of foolish choices. You know, he was speaking from experience, right? So I think it's something that we can learn from when we think about not doing foolish things, having foolish thoughts, foolish words coming out of our mouth, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So again, I hope this has been an encouraging lesson to you. I hope you got some good thoughts and good direction with this. We're going to get ready to sing the invitation song here this morning. And the song that Brother AC is going to sing for us is "Prepare to Meet Thy God." And I think this is a really cool song to sing as an invitation song, because it really gets you thinking. Because this song really is speaking to someone who's making foolish choices. When we sing this song, really pay attention to the words. You hear words like careless or thoughtless or somebody that's delaying. You don't want to be that kind of person. You don't want to be the fool that says, "You know what? I can do that later. I could probably do better, but I'll get around to it. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll obey the Lord another day." That's not what you want to be, because this song is describing that person as careless, thoughtless, or waiting where you shouldn't be waiting. And what we've read about and studied about today, I'd call that person a fool. Don't be the fool. Be the wise. Choose now who you're going to serve. Understand that God is all and should be all for your life. Everything that you think, everything that you say, and everything that do. Make sure that it glorifies God. And make sure you're living the life that you need to live so that you can one day be with Him in heaven. I hope to see as many of everybody as I can there. But don't delay. If you've not obeyed the gospel, obey it now. Don't be that fool that's careless and thoughtless and delaying. And if you need to make your life right because you've sinned and fallen short, made mistakes, you have the prayers of the congregation, you can come forward, we pray with you, give you encouragement, or you stand there at your pew and you pray and ask God for forgiveness, whatever you need to do. Don't be the fool that delays and waits for another time, another day, because you don't know if you have another minute. But just don't be that fool. Be wise and make your life right now. Whatever your needs are, just let us know. Let's stand and sing.
Warning, the warning, for
Brother Tim, for that lesson. I know specifically for me personally that rung loudly, especially as of late. Life just tends to come at you really fast, and before you know it, the days are running into each other, and it's good to have a reminder to slow down and have mindfulness and the things that we say and what we do and what our purpose here in life really is, and that's to be servants to God and to follow His will. Before we enter into the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing Nothing But the Blood. It's to help focus our minds before we partake this morning, Nothing But the Blood. And we're going to sing all four verses. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
He's just singing away. He's got it. You know, I'd asked Brother AC to send me his Lord's Supper song because I was going to tie in my talk to that, since I had another talk to work on. And when he sent me that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, I'm like, no, wait a minute, that's usually an invitation song. So I had to think about it. I'm like, no, that's a really good song to sing for the Lord's Supper. And when you think about that song and everything that it says about the precious blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed on the cross for us, in that song we read about the blood that washes away my sins, the blood that makes me whole again, the blood that is for pardon and cleansing and atonement, the blood that is for hope and peace and righteousness. There is no substitute for that precious blood of Jesus. In Colossians 1, 12 through 14, give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has received us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. And we talk about, you know, as we prepare our thoughts and our minds, as we partake of the bread that represents the body that was hung on the cross for us, and the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed for us. You know, we understand blood is precious. It's flowing through our veins. It supplies our body with what it needs to survive. The precious blood of Jesus is that for us spiritually, is what we need to survive. Because it is there for all the things that we sung about, to wash away our sins and to make us whole again. It's our hope and peace and righteousness. Therefore, when I say there's no substitute for it, just like for our blood, you know, physically, there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for this. We remember the blood that was shed for us and what that means, because he has redeemed us through his blood and opened up that opportunity for the forgiveness of sins. And we've been asked to remember that every first day of the week, to focus our thoughts and our minds and to be thankful for what Christ did for us. How he suffered, how he bled, and how he died. And as we do this, let's make sure that we remember and again be thankful. Because how did that verse start in Colossians 1, 12 through 14? Give joyful thanks. We need to be thankful for all that has been done for us. But the greatest gift of all is what Christ did, giving himself for us, giving his blood for us. So let's remember that and have our minds focused that there truly is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you bow with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly joyful for all that has been done for us, and we're thankful for the body of Jesus that was hung upon the cross. It was tortured and beaten, spat upon. We're so thankful for that, for all that he did. As we partake of this bread that represents that body that went through so much for us, help us remember that suffering. And again, help us to be thankful for what Christ did for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Would you bow with me? Lord, we come before you once again, thanking you for your Son's willing sacrifice on the cross, that we may partake of his blood that he gave for us. And we ask that we would partake of it in a manner well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Concludes the Lord's Supper. This time we like to take this opportunity to give back as we have been prospered. And just like we read in Colossians 1:12, give joyful thanks. Not only being thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for us, but being thankful for the big picture, for everything that we have, everything that we are, the breath that we have, the steps that we can take. Just look how beautiful it is today. But everything that we see, everything that we have around us is a blessing from God. And he's asked us to always be joyful and be thankful for all that we have. And we take this time in our worship service, as part of our worship, to give back and be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. So let's have our thoughts focused on that. If you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord, we express our sincere thanks and gratitude for all that you've done for us, all that you have done, and all that you're going to do, because we know you are our Father, you care for us, you love us, and always help us to be joyful and thankful for all that you've done for us. And as we give back, help us to have a joyful heart. Help us to always be joyful when we think about all that we've been blessed with, so that even everybody else around us knows how thankful we are that we have a Heavenly Father who loves for us and cares for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
been a great morning thus far. Awesome, awesome worship service. I appreciate everyone here and everyone else tuning in. Let's just be mindful of those, obviously, that were mentioned earlier, especially the Henson family as they're battling some sicknesses. Let's pray for their comfort and restoration. I've selected There Is a Habitation as a closing song this morning, kind of to tie in what Tim was preaching this morning. We should all take the time, obviously, to be in God's Word and to slow down and to focus on the things that truly matter. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but at the end of the day, there is a habitation. So we're going to sing the first and fourth verse, and we'll be led by Brother Jerry. He's going to have our closing prayer this morning. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing with glorified immortals the
showed us the ways that you've taught us. We ask, Father, that you would help us to even might be more conscious all the time of what a great blessing it is to be a Christian. Father, we know that everyone has trials and situations in their life which brings concern, which causes us to at times worry, sometimes to be fretful. But help us to always be mindful of the fact that we are already conquerors. We are already able to see the great things that you have done for us and prepared for us in the future. Help us to look forward to those days when we can be with you. We know, Father, that you have caused each of us to have a mind that we think about the things of the past. The good things and the bad things, the good relationships, the good things that have brought us pleasure, the things that have brought us concern. And we know that you also live with our minds in the present. Today we are able to worship you. Today we are able to be thankful, and we can be active in doing the things that you want us to do. And the third place that you let us live, Father, is in the future. You let us be mindful of the great things that are ahead. If we follow you and trust in you and obey your word, you have promised many things and you can look forward to receiving those promises. We ask, Father, that you would go with us as we lead this worship. Help us to be mindful of the things as a Christian we should try to do. Help us to try to help someone. Help us to try to encourage someone. Be a friend to someone who doesn't. doesn't really have any friends. We know, Father, that you are a great friend to each of us. We appreciate that closeness that you have with us. And we know that you're a God that loves us so deeply that every moment you are aware of our situations. So help us to be positive. Help us to rely on that great promise that you've given us, that you're with us at all times. As we leave this worship, we again thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the fact that the coronavirus is waning away. It is not over, but you have helped us go through that. And we thank you, Father, for the wonderful day that you've given us today. We know that you've designed the world to have minutes by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. We know that the earth is rotating by your design. And we just are aware of the greatness of what you are. We only ask, Father, that we might be worthy of the calling that you have given us to come to you. We thank you again. In these things we pray in your name. Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.